words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, it's the hymn of the day for today, but it's so long, we decided to break it up. We've got the first five verses of Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, and we'll pick up the rest of the verses during the distribution of the Lord's Supper. Following that hymn, we will follow Divine Service Setting 1, as we have through this season of Easter. That's on page 151 and following. Two options for the hymn of praise. We'll sing This is the Feast. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Our focus will be on the epistle reading from James chapter 1. All good gifts come from the Lord. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, You indeed are a gift-giving God. We receive, we grumble, we complain, and we are certainly less than humble and meek in our reception of Your gracious gifts. Heavenly Father, teach us today the gift of humility. Squash our pride and fill us with the implanted word which gives us salvation. Teach us that the greatest gift of all is the gift of Your word. Your word made flesh, Your word attached to water, bread, and wine, Your word that gives us life. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name of that word, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hymn 556, verses 1 through 5.
Thank you. worship, divine service, setting number one, page 151, page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise,
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. You make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Easter is from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from James, chapter 1. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good Christian friends, rejoice and sing. Now is the triumph of our King. To all the world the news we bring. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing now our hymn of the day, hymn 819. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our sermon this morning. The epistle reading from James chapter 1. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Dear friends in Christ, you know, this gift-giving thing is a very complicated matter. I know that there are a lot of customs and traditions with regard to giving and receiving gifts, but it's so complicated I can hardly keep up. Back in the olden days, when it was someone's birthday or anniversary or Christmas, you just got them a gift. But it doesn't work that way anymore, does it? You have to compile a list and then give your list to the potential givers. You can't just give a gift unless you're absolutely sure that it's a gift that somebody else wants. When someone is getting married, what's the very first thing they do? They sign up at the gift registry. Heaven forbid someone come up with an idea on their own to give a gift. And then if you receive a gift that wasn't specifically on your list, are you happy? Are you excited? Are you disappointed? Are you crushed? Gift giving has become a very complicated mess. And most of it is our fault. How selfish it is to tell someone else what kind of a gift we want. Think about that and meditate on that. We have a long time until Christmas. God's word for today teaches us that all good gifts and every perfect gift comes from above. Now, when we think about the kind of gifts that we have, that we have received, that we enjoy, most of the time, we think about first article gifts. And when I say first article gifts, they're the kind of tangible things that support this body and life. Remember Luther's small catechism, first article of the creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures. So first article gift is life. God has given me life and breath. That is a gift from God. He doesn't stop there. That he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of me. The fact that I can move and think and talk and communicate, the fact that I have eyes and ears and fingers and toes, all good gifts from God. Thanks be to God. But he doesn't stop there either, does he? He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. All that I need to support this body and life. Notice that very important word there. All that I need. Not all that I want. Not all that I desire. Not all that I envy. God promises to give us all that we need to support this body and life. He gives us life. He gives us the ability to think and move and work and reason, to play, to smile, to laugh. He takes care of all of our bodily needs. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey. All good gifts come from the Lord. We receive and give thanks. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? We know it's not simple. That's why we struggle with it. Now, it's one thing to tell your spouse or your parents or your boyfriend or girlfriend what you want for a gift. It's quite another to tell God what kind of gifts He should give you. Certainly, we're to pray to God. Certainly, we're to bring our prayers and requests to Him. But to demand, to expect, to be disappointed when things don't turn out exactly the way we want, this is not, as God's word for us today, receiving with meekness the gifts of God. God teaches us that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Perfect gift? What in the world is a perfect gift? One that never wears out? One that never breaks? One that appreciates in value and I can retire early by selling it? God's word teaches us what that perfect gift is. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth. My friends, you've already received it. God has graciously given it to you. He has poured it out on you and into you. The word of truth. God has given it to you in the waters of holy baptism. He has given it to you in your ear and in your heart. He has given it to you pumping in your veins as you eat and drink this word. This word of truth, this perfect gift that God has given. The word. This is what God is about, and this is why we are here. The word is powerful and almighty. In Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the power of God's word, everything came into existence. But God didn't just create it and let it hang. He continues to preserve and uphold all things by His power. Hebrews chapter 1. That almighty and all-powerful word is the word that God has given you. But there's more to this word. It is almighty and it is powerful. But God's word is true. Inspired, inerrant, infallible. God, who is perfect and cannot lie, gives us a word that is true and perfect and cannot lie. Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. My word is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, it's not enough that the Bible is a true book. I suppose you can find lots of books in this world that are true. You know, maybe a mathematics or a chemistry textbook that doesn't have any mistakes. That could be verifiably true. And as it gives you knowledge of those facts, I suppose you could even say that it's powerful. But it's not powerful and true like God's Word, the Bible, is. Because God's Word, the Bible, powerful and true, has its heart, its core, and its center in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, you search the Scriptures, thinking that by reading them you will have life. These are they that testify of me. My friends, God's Word is powerful and true for you because it points you to the author of salvation, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You sang it in that hymn, verse 4 of Dear Christians, One and All, Rejoice. But God had seen my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of His mercies great, He planned for my salvation. He turned to me a father's heart. He did not choose the easy part, but gave his dearest treasure. Our gift-giving God. Remember, all good gifts and every perfect gift comes from above. Our gift-giving God gave his dearest treasure for you and for your salvation. We are mired in the muck of our sins. We are constantly whining and complaining and striving to earn merit and favor with God, bound in our sin and our transgressions, consumed by our guilt and shame. God comes to us. He sends the Word, Jesus Christ, wrapped in flesh and blood, born of a virgin, placing himself under God's holy law for you, for life, for salvation. The Word becomes flesh and hangs on Calvary's cross, suspended naked between heaven and earth for you, oozing out his holy, innocent, precious lifeblood on our behalf. Jesus, whose dead body was placed in a tomb, Jesus, who rose victorious over sin, death, and the grave for you, for life, for salvation. If you were going to choose a gift from God, what would it be? A winning lottery ticket? The fountain of youth? My friends, how small we think. And how little we think of our God. God has already given you the kingdom. He has given you forgiveness, life, and salvation in and through Jesus. He has poured this out to you in the waters of holy baptism. He has implanted His word in you and wrapped you with the robe of righteousness. Not your own righteousness, but the robe of Christ's righteousness, which cannot fade or change or perish in any way, shape, or form. My friends, God has done it all. He didn't tell you to make out a list because he was going to check it twice to find out if you were really naughty or nice. No! While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it was a real popular teaching in various circles of Christianity now, and it's called synergism. Synergism. You know, it's kind of like working together. God does his part, and then we do ours. God does his part, and then we have to do something to make our salvation complete or real or efficacious. Or a little twist on that is God gives us faith and brings us into the church, but it's up to me and my power to stay there. My friends, God's word says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above, of his own will, verse 18. He brought us forth by the word of truth, of God's own will. My friends, he did it all for you. As we sang in our sermon hymn, give God the praise and glory. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. 1 Peter 1. My friends, this is God's gift, pure gift, to you and for you. So now what? So now what? Pastor, I hear this every Sunday. I hear that I'm a sinner and that Christ died for me. But I still have my day-to-day problems. I have problems at work, problems at home, problems in the family, problems in the world, problems in my neighborhood, problems in the church, hopefully not too many. I have problems in my own body, in my own brain, in my emotions. Can't you give me something a little more practical? Can't you give me something that'll help me day to day? God, I know you've given me this gift, but I want something different. I want something better. One of the most heartbreaking conversations that I had with a former member of this congregation, as we stood in the hallway, and this individual told me that they were not coming back and they were looking for another church. I asked the question, have you not received God's word in its truth and purity every time you stepped foot inside this building? And this individual looked at me and said, oh, Pastor, absolutely. But I want more. What about you? Do you want more? Do you want more than God's word? Do you want more than the forgiveness, life, and salvation that God freely gives in and through his word? Well, I'll tell you the exact same thing I told that person. I'm sorry. I got nothing more to give you. My friends, when we think we have a better idea of what gifts God should give us, we end up being angry and bitter and depressed. God's word says, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires." You know what anger turned inward is? Depression. If you are angry and depressed over the cards that life has dealt you, over the way God is treating you and giving His gifts, now and now alone is the time to repent. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Why don't we listen? Think about that. Why don't we listen? Because we're too busy talking. And why are we so busy talking? Because we think we are more important than the Word of God. Our sermon hymn said, "Cast every idol from its throne, for God is God and God alone. To Him all praise and glory." My friends, our God is a generous, gift-giving God. He's given you His most precious treasure, Jesus. He has given you the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. He gives you first article gifts as well, all that you need to support this body and life. And He keeps us in the faith by the power of His word. This is why we come again and again and again and hang on the very words of God, because in these words are life. We hear the law because our own sinfulness and idolatry and selfishness creeps up all the time. And God's word of law crushes our idols, killing us in the waters of holy baptism, and then immediately bringing us forth into new life. Life in Him. Life that is full in Jesus Christ. Receive with meekness, humbleness, this implanted word. And God does have a guarantee for this gift He has given you. His word will not return to Him void. His word will bear fruit in you and through you now and for all eternity. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our gifts, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess the Christian faith. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed. Please stand if you're able. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In addition to the prayer requests as listed in your news and notes, remember Gretel, wife of future vicar A.J. Bader, and their unborn son as she is hospitalized. We also pray for Pam Dynas, who is anticipating surgery. Let us pray. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Father of lights, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from your gracious hand. Remember your children and bless our heritage. Fill us with your Spirit of truth, that we would be clothed in the holiness and righteousness of Christ, who alone is our salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Father of lights, you have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations. Remember those whom you raise up to make known your deeds among the peoples. Bless all pastors and missionaries, that the word of truth may be proclaimed in all the world. Especially bless all those embarking on vicarage this summer, especially Good Shepherd member Mark Kranz, who will serve in Imperial, Nebraska. Good Shepherd's new vicar, A.J. Bader, coming to us this summer. Grant your grace to all who have received a call into the office of the Holy Ministry this week, especially former Good Shepherd vicar Evan Scammon, who will serve in Connecticut. May they be faithful to you as they serve your gathered people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Father of lights, your anger toward us has been turned away by the work of our high priest, whose sacrifice on the cross is the propitiation for our sins. For the sake of good order, you must still rule your left-hand kingdom with law and justice. Give wise counsel to all who are in authority, especially President Trump, Congress, and the justices of the United States. Bring an end to violence and chaos, especially that which is inflicted on the weakest among us through abortion, infanticide, and assisted suicide. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Father of lights, be the helper of all who are sick, hospitalized, homebound, or suffering in any way, especially those who have requested our prayers. Grant them healing and peace in accordance with your holy will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Father of lights, by the power of the Holy Spirit, enable us to recognize that we have come to Zion here in this place, and that great in our midst is the Holy One of Israel, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Bring us to the holy altar in repentance and faith, that we would eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, and the certainty of our eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Father of lights, sustain us in our sojourn through this changing world, and bring us, together with all your saints, to the unchanging life in your eternal kingdom, where you live and reign with your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
Welcome in the name of Jesus, the greatest gift the world has ever seen. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each pew, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of God's gift of Jesus and eternal life would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Thank you.
stand and sing the offertory, page 159. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sin of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, and with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you
always.
Always.
And mercy always.
And mercy always.
Have a God you take away, the sin of the world.
And mercy always.
Ever guide you, take away, the sin of the world.
And mercy always.
Ever guide you, take away, the sin of the world.
And mercy always.
Ever guide you, take away, the sin of the world.
And mercy always.
Ever guide you, take away, the sin of the world.
And mercy always.
Ever guide you, take away, the sin of the world.
And mercy always.
Ever guide you, take away, the sin of the world.
And mercy always.
Ever guide you, take away, the sin of the world.
And mercy always.
Ever guide you, take away, the sin of the world.
And mercy always.
Ever guide you, take away, the sin of the world.
And mercy always.
Ever guide you, take away, the s
Now this true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and we sing our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord. Give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Hymn 488, We Remain Standing.
Seated. Kids, why don't you go get some goodies, and we'll be back in here in about 5 to 7 minutes for our Sunday school opening. Speaking of goodies, I'm not really sure who to thank, but there was a nice cake in the kitchen this morning, and they made me take pictures with the cake. This last week was my 20th ordination anniversary, so thanks to everybody who put that together, and I've already gotten several cards, so I know there was some secret orchestrated effort. Thank you. It was April 1st, 1997 that Vicar Poppy started here at Good Shepherd, and then it was a little over a year later, April 26th, 1998, that I was ordained in my home congregation in West Point. And for those of you old timers around here, that was the day that we chartered the bus up to West Point. And I know some great memories from some of you that have been around that long on that journey. And then the very next week, on May 3rd, 1998, I was installed here as pastor at Good Shepherd. So it's been a fun 21-year time here, and I hope on my gravestone they can put two things. One, he said nothing new. Two, the word, the word, the word. And I hope that sums up our time together here at Good Shepherd. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. I notice in big bold letters it said youth group trip deadline today. So I assume that means the youth group trip deadline is today.
It does speak the truth.
Okay, all right. It is inerrant.
Yes.
It is inerrant in that respect. Okay. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Bible study. We'll continue our look at the formula of concord. We'll try to wrap up the topic of adiaphora today. And I don't know. Vicar, anything else? You know, Ken and Jan, my wife and I, were at Fort Wayne this last week for call day. Our new vicar, AJ, now we're going to have to come up with a name for him too, because his real name is Albert, and his last name is Bader, and so I was thinking of Darth.
Oh.
No, I don't know. He's a great guy. He and his wife, Gretel, have been in worship many times here at Good Shepherd. AJ Bader's father-in-law is Pastor Bremer in Grand Island, and A.J. Bader's pastor is Pastor Niemeyer in Worms. So, great stock. They have a baby due in early June. Had some complications through the day yesterday. Gretel is hospitalized right now, so please keep her and their baby in your thoughts and prayers. Former Vicar Scammon is called to be serving a dual parish in Connecticut. A dual parish in Connecticut, and that's about all I know. And Nebraska is not on the way from Fort Wayne to Connecticut. But if there's any way they can carve out a few days to come back and visit before they take the trip out there, they promised us they would. Okay. I think that's all. Please join us for coffee and goodies and anniversary cake. Have a great day and week in the life of Jesus.